The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Stabbing Into a Mystery, the podcast that digs deep into chilling murder cases and their eerie secrets. I'm your host, DJ Red Rum, and together we'll explore these shocking stories. Are you ready to stab into the mystery? Let's begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 5. Today, I am here with Mari Martinez, a fellow true crime enthusiast that has read and seen many documentaries on true crime cases. So welcome onto this podcast.
Hi, glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Of course, no problem. I wanted to start off this interview by asking, how long have you been into true crimes or murder mysteries?
I believe I started having an interest in this morbid subject around the age of 10 or 11, if I remember correctly. Kind of started with watching the news with my parents in the evening, and, you know, the news is never always really good. And a lot of what was going around during that time was all these murders and stuff that was going around in the nation, not just locally, but in the nation. So that kind of piqued my interest.
Yeah, me too. Just seeing cases on the news stations really brought me into this whole genre. Speaking of genre, what was your first impression when you got introduced to it?
Fear, for one, because, of course, we were hearing about, you know, all these people that were being found, you know, disalived, and not knowing who or how they ended up in that way. And of course, that was a peak of stranger danger and, you know, not talking to strangers and interacting with, you know, people that were kind of scary looking. So that kind of set a fear in me as a kid because it was all very impressionable.
So when you were a kid, what case got you hooked onto, you know, true crime and murder mysteries?
I believe it was Jeffrey Dahmer, because it was all over the news. It was sensationalized. So you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing, you know, the capture of him, of his arrest, and of course, all the horrific things they found in his apartment. So that kind of kicked it all off for me. And I was really, really young. But at that time, there was no really internet and, you know, Google search and stuff like that. So you would only have to get this information from the news. And there really wasn't much to begin with, but just made you kind of look at things differently.
You know, one thing that I've noticed a lot with people talking about true crimes or murder mysteries is that some people don't understand why crowds or groups of people can be so interested in this topic. And then some people are curious why other people don't find it interesting. So why do you think this type of entertainment draws you and others to true crime and murder mystery content?
I don't think it's the actual act of like a murder, because of course it's horrific. I mean, who really wants to see that or be a part of it? I think it's more of how this is not normal behavior as far as the person who is doing the crime. They seem like they are normal people. And when you hear about the horrific things they've done, it makes you wonder what's going on behind closed doors. Like, what was this person thinking? How did this person become the way they are now and push them to do the things that they did? Because of course, that is not normal behavior. And I think that's what kind of draws people in, is just the indomitable act of people behaving that way. And I think that's what people are drawn to.
So what makes it interesting for you is basically the psychology behind it. Well, does the story or the suspense within the case, does that draw you into it as well?
Yes, the psychology of it, because like I said, you always wonder what makes a person tick, what makes a person do the things that they do. And I guess looking at different cases, you kind of get tied up with the victims because you want to know who they were, what they did, how they got to the person that basically committed the crime against them. But it is something, the psychology of it is basically one of the huge things, you know, and then other things sort of kind of feed into that afterwards.
Are there specific cases that interest you the most, like serial killers, murder mysteries, or wrongful conviction cases?
I believe for me, it's a mixture of everything. But I do find, as far as like one of the original cases that really intrigued me a lot was the Elizabeth Short. Of course, everybody knows the Black Dahlia. How she was found, first of all, and that really nobody knew much about her. She was basically, you know, just someone, you know, that was found unalived, who was an aspiring actress, model. And basically that sort of kicked it off for me because, I mean, it was just horrific what was done to her. And this has been a case that has never really been solved. Of course, there's been a lot of speculation and suspects and, you know, but never really got to the bottom of who did this, and they were never held accountable for it. So that case in particular is one for the books for me because it has been so many years, decades, and still nothing has happened. And that's one of the cases that I wish, hopefully in my lifetime, you know, along with other cases, get solved, you know. So Black Dahlia, of course, is number one for me. Other than that, I would say probably the JonBenet. You know, everybody knows her face was plastered all over the news, in magazines and everything, and it was horrific what happened to her. And it's never been solved. And it's really sad, you know, because you don't know these victims personally, but their story touches you and you want that justice for them. That's like another interesting case because, of course, you know, everybody wanted to catch the killer and it still hasn't happened. And will it happen? Who knows? I mean, it's been kind of botched here and there, but it is one that hopefully, again, in my lifetime will get solved because you kind of want to have that justice for that victim no matter how many years pass by. Another case that kind of hits home is, of course, the Lacey Peterson. Yes, her husband was convicted, found guilty, sent to prison. But with a lot of things that are coming up right now, it kind of makes you look at things differently. Is he really guilty? I, for one, don't think that he is, but that's my opinion. But, you know, a person can also be arrested and convicted and tried and, you know, sent to jail and not necessarily be the one who committed the crime. And I think that's kind of what's going on with this case. So those are like my top three right now.
Yeah, and a lot of those cases you mentioned too, they have really heartbreaking stories. And it just makes me wonder if hearing these cases make you more cautious or aware of your surroundings and the people around you. Like, are you constantly looking to see if there's danger anywhere, or are you more at peace even after hearing cases like this?
No, I think it kind of makes me a little fearful. I mean, I'm not going to stop doing what I do in my everyday life because of it. But for example, Lacey Peterson case was here close to home in the Bay Area. And if the husband did not commit the crime, then the person who did it is still out there. Now that puts fear in me. Not for myself per se, but I have children. And I know a lot of moms always are fearful that something's going to happen to their children. And you want to, you know, believe that your kids will make the right choices, speak to people that are really, really good people. But there's always that chance that, you know, we might encounter somebody that's not so good. And what if that person really was the person who committed the crime? That's the kind of thing that makes me fearful, not for myself, but for my children. That's just the way I see things. But these kind of cases are very, put you in a sense of heightened alert. Just because you want to be aware of your surroundings, of your interactions with different people. Just because they're nice doesn't mean that they're good people, or the people who commit these crimes look pretty normal. They seem pretty normal. They don't look off. And that's the scary thing. You don't know who you're talking to or who you're interacting with. So things like that do kind of put me on edge. Not for myself, though. I think I'm at an age where I'm like, okay, well, if I go, I go. I hope it's not that way, but it does make you think about others that you love and care for.
Yeah, just thinking about being put in any type of situation like that, it is scary. And I feel like people covering these stories is a huge way to give more light to these cases. But I wanted to know what you think about the balance between entertainment and respecting real victims and their families are.
I think it's a very thin line between re-victimizing the victims and entertainment. We're all curious about it. We all want to know what happened, how it happened. But I think for the most part, you have to be responsible, have a sense of responsibility and sensitivity towards the victim's family. This person was someone who was of importance to them. It was a person that they loved and cared for. So you need to show respect, you know, stick to what you know, stick to the facts, try not to sensationalize the person who committed the crime. I think in a lot of these cases, we forget about the victims. I mean, I've had debates with other people where they say, oh, you know, Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer. And I said, okay, you know, yeah, they were bad people, but you forget about the victims. Name one victim from either one of those cases to me that you know of. And that's where us as a, you know, as people that do podcasts and stuff like that, we sensationalize these people and we often forget about the victims. And I think that's more of an insult to the families that are left behind. It's more hurtful because their loved ones get forgotten.
You know, when I talk about these cases, I do it so that there's more people being taught about this case and being involved in this case. It's not to bring light to the person that did it or whoever could have done it, but it's more to push people to want to solve this case, especially with the murder mystery cases that I talk about on this podcast. But one thing I've noticed a lot is that many people have different opinions on media coverage as well when it comes to how it can affect not only the families, but the pathway of these investigations. Do you think people in the media take things a little too far?
In some cases, yes, they do. Because, again, you know, they sort of get in the way of an actual investigation. An example, the Lacey Peterson case. Her husband was suspect number one, and the media took that and ran. Yes, he did awful things while she was alive. He was caught lying and having an extramarital affair. Okay, but does that make him a murderer? Not necessarily. But the media had a lot to do with already basically convicting him. They were, you know, the ones who kind of led the path, I believe, in my opinion. And I think that's where it's pretty crazy how media has such a big influence in people. You know, nobody, you ask anybody and they think, yeah, he did it. Okay, why? Why do you think he did it? Oh, well, because they said he was doing this, he was doing that. Who said? The media, the news. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily make him a killer. You know, this is all circumstantial evidence. It's not proof. It's, I mean, yeah, okay, we want to believe that he did it. Why? Because the media is portraying him as a bad person, as a person who's guilty, as a person who murdered his wife and unborn child. And I think media had a lot to do with it. He was convicted and, you know, not given a fair chance to be really tried as an innocent person. And that's unfortunate for him because he spent all these years in prison. And do we really, really know that he did it? I don't think so, but everybody else sort of just judged him and convicted him anyways. And that the media had a lot to do with.
Yeah, there's many pros and cons when it comes to people talking about these cases and wanting to bring light to it. But at the end of the day, these cases are still going to be talked about. And the least we can do is try and respect these victims and families. And I think that's a good place to end this interview. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with me.
Thank you for the invite.
And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.